step for him against the Cowboys.
Hello?
Mr. James.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Okay. All right. Listen, I just talked to the enrollment broker this morning. They finally did process the new doctor's form and issued what's called a 1768. So now it tells the county assistant's office to review application.
I spoke to them yesterday.
Who's that?
And I sent them the county assistant.
Who's
and
that?
And I emailed the, who was it I spoke to?
Yeah.
I don't know, but they gave me, she told me what I needed to do as far as sending in my, financial stuff.
Yeah, I'm about to send it in right now. That's why I'm calling you.
Well, that's why I was trying to cut you off real quick, because I had my son do it for me last night, and he sent it to the email that they gave me because I had to give them because I only had 3 years of bank statements, and the woman said to also include a affidavit that I didn't own a house, and I had
no
property.
You don't have to do an affidavit that you don't own a house. I'm typing your financial explanation letter. Your financial explanation letter in there will explain the 3 years of bank statements that you do not own property and anything else that needs to be in there. That's what I'm actually typing up right now as we speak. That's why I'm calling you.
All right, because I did send that in last night. I emailed that last night.
Where'd you email it to?
I emailed it to the, give me 1 second. Hold on 1 second. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
C-PCAOSTH.
Wait. C-, well, that's wrong. It begins with an R, right? So that's wrong. But anyway.
C-PCAOSTH. Did you tell me it was the Pennsylvania something of South Philly?
That's not where it's supposed to go. It goes to the county assistant's office. It's only one long-term care office in Philadelphia. That's on Parkside Avenue. So whatever that is incorrect.
You and I have talked about it before. Okay.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, it's a valid effort, but no, that's not it. So I'm actually about to send it to, because I just spoke to your own broker. They need that. And I'm going to send it today because, one, is this is my day to do enrollment stuff. Number two is the county assistant's office is unbelievably slow. So
they need this stuff
ASAP. All right. I just want to go over what your letter consists of. I am so far. It is Mr. James Stafford is applying for home community-based services through the Medicaid waiver. His financials are being submitted, and he only has a limited history with 3 years of statements. He has an account with a check cashing place in which he can withdraw his money each month and use his funds as he sees fit. He does receive Social Security benefits on a monthly basis of, and how much is your Social Security?
$650.
Okay, of 600 of approximately $650. You do not receive any other income, right?
Nope.
Okay. Receive any other income. He does not, you don't have life insurance, right?
No.
You do not own a home, right?
Nope. Nope.
Any property. And you do not, do you own a vehicle?
Nope.
Okay. Let's see. Own a vehicle. Okay. All right. I have to submit this with your. I'm not finished this yet. That's not on vehicle. Oh, excuse me. All right. Due to his medical and clinical decline, he is requesting for his application to be reviewed as soon as possible. The enrollment broker has deemed him the enrollment broker has approved him for long-term care needs, and they are awaiting your decision. Your approval, I'm going to say approval, not even decision, your approval for Medicaid. Okay. All right. And I'm going to send all this stuff in. Oh, you know what? And you withdraw. Let me see. I'm going to go a little more in detail about the withdrawals because they're dense enough to ask questions. Why does he keep withdrawing? Let me see. Because you get a fee or something. When you say you get charged,
I get charged for every action I take on that card. They charge me. Whether if I buy soda, it's $2.50. Whether I take out $100, it's $2.50.
Okay, so you will see him withdrawing his entire SSI benefit.
Most of the time, but not every time.
Right. Each month due to high fees that he would be charged.
Okay. Yep.
To use his debit card. And that's issued through the check cashing place?
No, through the card. It's called Nexus. NEXUS.
Okay.
It's a relationship they have together where the check cashing place gets a fee for me being their customer.
Right.
And Nexus, who with the money's deposited with, gets the fees, like a one-time monthly fee, $7, I think, and the fees for me using it.
Any bills that you pay, do you get money orders from? How do you pay them if you have any bills?
I do it through my son's account. Like through his credit, I'll give him the cash money.
Got you.
And we'll do that through his bank account most of the time.
Okay.
Like my electric, my gas, rent's paid in cash. But yeah.
Okay. All right. Let me see. Okay, so I'm going to read this off to you. Let me know if this is sufficient, and I'll be sending everything in now to the correct place.
Okay.
All right, to whom may concern, Mr. James Stafford is applying for home community-based services through the Medicaid waiver. His financials are being submitted, and he only has a limited history with 3 years of statements. He has an account with a check cashing place in which he can withdraw his money each month and use his funds as he sees fit. He does receive Social Security benefits monthly of approximately $650. You will see him in his account withdrawing his entire SSI benefit each month due to high fees that he would incur to use his debit card that he possesses. When he has bills and or expenses, he will give the cash to family members, and they will pay the bill with their account. He does not receive any other income, does not have life insurance. He does not own any property, nor does he own a vehicle. Due to his medical and clinical decline, he is requesting for his application to be reviewed as soon as possible. The enrollment broker has already approved him for long-term care needs, and they are awaiting your approval for Medicaid. All right. Is that fine?
Yes. Yep. Most certainly.
All right. All right. Lastly, what is your social? I have to put that in the header.
180-48-4814. And when I asked her who was handling my case, because I was emailing it, or faxing it to, I said, who should I, attention it to? And she said, a Miss Johnson, LTIS.
Now, it's got to go to a, I don't know who you were talking to, it's got to go to a general mailbox. So when it can't go directly to an income case manager, it hasn't been assigned yet. It has to go to it's a general mailbox where they look at it and upload it, and then, because there's a variety of people that's going to review your case. So you would hope that, you would just get one person. But that's why it has to go to this mailbox in which that all the income case managers have the ability to retrieve your information. So you can't get one person. I'm not sure, because I'm wondering who you were speaking with. Bless you. Bless you. I wonder who you were speaking with, because that's not, unless they were trying to. Who was the agency? Was there an agency or somebody you were talking to? You said it wasn't there.
I called the Roman broker the day before, and I spoke to you, just to how to move ahead or whatever. You're quite busy on the road, and we talk.
Yeah.
Pardon me. And I know you had said before that sometimes I get this thing to the, it could sit for 3 months or a month, because they're slow.
Very.
So I'm just trying to move it along.
Okay.
To see where we're at. I called the enrollment broker, and they told me what I should do, like you did. Call the county assistants was what they told me. And I called county assistants, and I told, spoke to them. And she seemed pretty aware of that. And I told her what I wanted to do. I wanted to get these paperwork in, so they're processed. And
question.
She gave me the specific. Yeah.
How long were you on hold with the county assistant's office?
Fucking over a half hour.
Okay. That makes sense. I wanted to make sure that you were speaking to the. Yeah, it's a very long.
I waited because it was early, too. It was like 10 o'clock, 10 to close to 11. Yeah. And they were cordial, nice to know. She seemed to know what the deal was when we talked. But like you said, there's only one agency or one, letterbox or whatever that it goes to. I mean, that's what you deal with, so you would know.
Okay.
So I don't really see that hurting me.
Well, I just want to make sure. Well, one thing is, I don't want you to have multiple, multiple case numbers. So.
Oh, you know what? I mean, she gave me a case number also. So. Where is it? Where's my case number, David? Yes, I have a case number that she gave me. Where is it right here? I don't see it, Mrs. Johnson. Why would it not be on the same page? Come on. Give it. I have so many notes here. Let me call you back with that. I'm not sure what an ID number.
Okay, it's all right. I can categorize
would
the
that
social.
Help?
That's why I asked for your social.
Okay.
So I already sent it in. So I sent everything. So it's sent in today. Now, the 1768, which is the notification from the enrollment broker to the county assistance office to review, they just sent it in earlier this week. So
okay, good.
They have 30 days from then to review it. Normally, to be honest with you, they are going to take the entire 30 days. You would hope not, but this is just who they are. They're very slow. I mean, even last night I was having a conversation with somebody from the enrollment broker, and we were looking at somebody else, and they were like, oh, we sent this 1768 over in, like, August 22nd, and they didn't upload it till September 12th. And they were like, if we had access to do the stuff, we would have done the same day. They're that slow. And they are.
What do they do? I mean, I'm not an exactly emergency case, per se. You know, what do they do in cases where, you know, these people are home alone and can't function without help?
People die.
Really?
Literally. I've been to court cases.
People die.
I've been to court cases. Literally had the state of Pennsylvania. I mean, reading the court notes on how bad this entity is. And, I mean, they had emails that people said, like, that other agencies brought in from all of Pennsylvania, not just Philadelphia. And said, literally, we've waited for approval for these long-term care services to the point where I've come to a client's home and they were now dead without assistance. You know,
is this
who we're dealing
with. Aaron?
What do you say?
Is it a funding problem? Because shouldn't some of these monies come from?
Well, oh, no, I'm sorry. Money?
Shouldn't some of the monies come from, like, lottery and stuff like that?
Well, here's the issue. The number one, this is what the county assistance office, what they do is they claim that they have a shortage, okay, of workers. Now, all right, let me really explain to you. This is the stupidity of Philadelphia County. So I'll just give you a little history of it. What is this?
Right? You kind of told me before, but go right ahead.
So, when this whole thing started, this Community Health Choices Project, Region 4 is Philadelphia, Montgomery, Bucks, Delaware, and Chester County. Now, when this thing started, there was, in 2018, there were 120,000 people in Region 4 that had the service in 2018. Out of those 120,000 people, 80,000 of those were in Philadelphia. Okay, so out of these five counties, Philadelphia had twice as many participants as the other four counties combined.
I remember you saying that before.
Region 4, right? And they did nothing but grow. So what was happening is each county has one long-term care office each county has one long-term care office that deals with the home care waiver. Problem is that why does Philadelphia only have one when we have twice as many participants as the other four counties combined? We're going to need twice as many offices, right? Because
now, wasn't this part of the contention that you kind of broke off from them?
No, it wasn't that. But it was just, when they introduced this program, it just didn't seem right anyway. It was stupid to me. And I was just like, "This, I don't understand this." I said, we're going to need more offices. Well, long story short is
it makes common sense.
Never,
you've got 10, five times more people than another county. You would require at least some more help. Yes, it only makes sense.
So they never fixed it. And with them never fixing it, all we did was get more and more participants that are applying for services. And now to the point now, what they do is they blame COVID and say, oh, COVID is the reason that we're behind. No, the reason you're behind is because y'all didn't plan this out. And instead
one,
of...
It was COVID 3 years ago. I mean, give me a break. I know people are working from home. Pardon me.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Like you said, they didn't plan it.
Didn't plan it properly. Didn't care. To me, the thing is they didn't care to plan it properly. Another thing, they didn't, you know, and now you have where they claim, oh, there's a shortage of people and it's so much work. Like, they want a sob story every time you talk to them. If you can't get them on the phone, it's always, woe is me. We got so much work to do. Well, first of all, get it done, number one. And y'all, they've been using COVID for the last 5 years. Oh, since COVID, this is going on. I'm like, save it. You're inefficient. And there's some good ones in that office. But the other thing about it is that, yes, it's a lot of work. But they're not used to working like that. They need it, and they got to get better. Number two is they also, when they do have a chance to work, they work so inefficiently. I mean, it doesn't bode well for them on how they don't pay attention to detail and how they deny people when they should
just
easily be approved.
Right?
Yeah, like that's why I don't have any grace.
There's no immediacy on their part because it ain't affecting them, and they get a paycheck at the end of the week, and life goes on.
Yeah, I mean, the blatant lies where I email them now. And they'll respond to me, oh, we never received. I mean, you'll see the email threads I have where they say, oh, we never received the bank statements for such and such. And they're replying to the email in which I sent the bank statements. Like, literally, it's happened so many times where they'll say, so we never received it. We're going to deny this person. And I'm saying, I sent you the bank statements 3 months ago. Matter of fact, the only way you're contacting me is because you replied to an email I sent with the bank statement.
Right. That's the only way you would have known that I'm in a certain way. I get it.
Right. You didn't have my email in your cell phone.
You're lying
replying
to me
to an email I sent.
Oh, lie, but you don't care. Yeah.
Right. And this, and now, even when that's pointed out, then we'll still say, oh, well, this person, I'm like, when are y'all going to be held accountable? It is so bad to the point where the enrollment broker who you spoke to recently, the enrollment broker is aware, like, the enrollment broker tried everything they can. I mean, they take it on so much more responsibility to assist the county assistance office, especially Philadelphia, because they're so bad. To the point now, you can call the enrollment broker and get a status update on your case because they can see in the county assistance office system now.
Before you could the county assistance office, okay.
Well, not before, but because it's so hard to get them on the line because you have that long wait time.
Right, that's what I mean. You easier to call the broker to find out your status. Like someone for you, like, you know, if you have a connection. Because
right.
The enrollment broker, they're a business, correct? And they have to, they're a private business, I would assume.
No, they're in Harrisburg. They're by the state.
Right,
yeah,
so
I mean, they have a contract. Well, they're federal. They're federal. They're all over the country, but they're in this realm. They're in Harrisburg, but they have a contract. It's kind of complicated, but I've done some research on them from years ago.
It's almost like if you looked at it from the outside, looking in without any knowledge, it would almost seem like, from what you're saying, to some degree, that we don't care if the people will slip through the cracks because this is how it is. There's only so much money.
Yeah.
And the excuses that you say they used. And with COVID and people not, we don't have enough help. You know, there's nobody saying, well, we're trying to upgrade or, you know, fix the problem or make more hires, you know, to make it more efficient. We're kind of stuck with what we're stuck with. Poor, poor, pitiful us.
Yeah. They don't care.
I mean, it's a shame.
Basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is what we're dealing with. So, and they haven't gotten any better. They were supposed to open up. Philadelphia County said they were going to open up two more long-term care offices this year, 2025. Never happened. Never happened. So they're aware of the issues and how people are being underserviced. It's taking too long. I mean, I have to involve city council members, state reps, now just to get a response. Like, it's unbelievable. Nobody's being held accountable down there. Nobody.
Well, let me ask you this, Aaron, real quick, because it just came into my head. Because I'm thinking, because I understand the political nature of all this kind of welfare, in a sense, but to some degree, wouldn't these funds originate, or where they made these laws, for people like myself? I'm 65, I worked all my life, or whatever. The benefits that they're offering would be from funds that were contributed by us people, you know?
Right.
Is that where those funding to some degree come from? Like I said, because I know the lottery is a $1 billion industry here each state over, when some of the funds come from there. So that's why I would figure that the funding wouldn't be that terrible, because from what I can see is that maybe they made this up because sending, because my daughter's a nurse, sending a registered nurse or a person who's trained, you know, to be a nurse, you can't get those people. You can't get someone to come to your house four or five times a week or whatever it may be for what they're trying to pay either a loved one or, you know what I mean? The difference, it's like, okay, we have out here, we can get someone that's closer to people where they're more comfortable to have them help in the home for someone who needs help. But, you know, you can't expect people to do that something for nothing, as opposed to the state taking on where I imagine they did it before through nursery homes to some degree, but people coming to the house who are, you know, professional people and had to do menial jobs. Where, do you understand what I'm saying? Where it's kind of benefit in one way for them not to have to pay that higher amount of money. That's just kind of how I see it to some degree.
Well, first of all, when it comes to the money, is that, you know, that the federally they're operating a deficit anyway. So now what they've done is they brought in for-profit insurance to oversee the Medicaid budget for long-term care. So you brought for-profit insurance into a nonprofit sector. The issue is that because it's a low and fixed income program, they've never cared about the program. I mean, the participants, because it's low and fixed income. So when the budget was $15 billion, let's say 7 years ago, 8 years ago, when the budget was estimated $12 to $15 billion for long-term care, Medicaid would spend more. They would spend $18 to $20 billion so they can justify getting a larger a long-term care budget next fiscal year. The difference
I remember how you broke that down to me before. I remember you telling me that before, how all the money goes to the one agency as opposed to the other, something like that. But listen, yeah. I just remembered something. I just got approved for Social Security last month, so my check is actually bigger now.
Well, that's why we need to get you approved now before they start revealing.
Say again?
I said that's why we got to get you approved now before they start asking for more information.
Yeah, because, I mean, they literally just last month was the first check that they gave me for Social Security because I'm on what they call retirement. Fun.
Okay.
Isn't that Social Security? They're like, no. I'm like, that's not SSD or because I'm not disabled. And they're like, no, that's called retirement. And I was approved for SSI because of my financial, financially, where I was today. They gave me like an extra $277 a month.
Okay. Yeah, working. Okay, so you should be.
I mean,
well, we'll wait to hear. I'm going to. I sent you stuff in. We're going to wait. I'm going to give it at least a week until I follow up with them. Hopefully, we'll find out who the income case manager is, and they get to review your stuff as soon as possible. But the long stuff, the heavy lifting is done. We're just waiting for them to actually review. Now, that's the hard part is waiting for them how slow they are. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, thank you for your due diligence there, Aaron.
Yeah. Not a problem, not a problem. I'm trying to get as much
I
enrollment
do
stuff
need to
today
help. I
as
mean,
done as I can. So I'll keep you posted on whatever I get from them. And we'll follow up in about a week.
right. Yeah,
Okay?
sounds great. Yeah, thank you, man. And again, thank you for your time and your expertise. That's why I called you.
Absolutely. All right, Mr. James, I'll talk to you.
Take care.
All right.